Hey guys, it is Jill here, and we are getting started with this live interview with Stacy, and I'm super pumped because Stacy and I are in, let me just see if Stacy's on. Okay, real quick, if you guys can hear me right now, can you go ahead and raise your hand for me? If you guys can hear me, can you raise your hand? Cool, if there's anything, any issues with the audio, let me know. Okay, cool, so I am pumped to have Stacy on because I sent you guys her info so you guys could check out her website, which is She's Building Her Empire. And Stacy is in a mastermind with me, and she is always so impressive. And I love hanging with Stacy because she is so good at strategy. And she has a really cool story. She actually was a dancer, and then she started a bunch of very successful dance studios in Milwaukee, where she's at, and got super successful there and started moving her business into online, the online realm. She's a business coach for female entrepreneurs. Her company is She's Building Her Empire. That's her podcast as well. You guys definitely need to check out her podcast. She's doing a lot of really amazing stuff. She has multiple different masterminds that she is facilitating for all different stages of business. She's also a best-selling author, course creator, and she's doing it all as a mom of two young ones. So I'm always so impressed with Stacy, and I'm just so honored and grateful for her time today. So Stacy, can you hear me okay? Are you there?
I can. How are you?
Hello. Yeah, can you hear me? Yes. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good. Good. So yeah, so I wanted to get you on because I love what you're doing, and I know that you have a lot of different things that you're creating for female entrepreneurs to take them from five figures to six figures to multiple six figures, seven figures, depending on where they're in their business. And I love your backstory, which is because it's a little bit different. You started in brick and mortar and still are doing that a little bit, but you've been super successful online. And so I just wanted to say thank you for so generously sharing your time and expertise with us.
Absolutely. Good. I used to think, oh, can you hear me?
Yep.
Am I good?
Got you.
Okay. I used to think coming into the online space that I was kind of almost hiding my brick and mortar experience. I didn't want people to know. I thought, will they take me seriously? They don't know this type of business. And it's funny because everything that people is for take a cab on things because of my background and my brick and mortar that it came from.
Yep.
Unique. It makes me, and we have to remember.
Okay, I think we're back. Can you hear me now?
Okay, great. Okay. I can.
Yeah, okay, cool. So yeah, so you were saying that your brick and mortar has helped you kind of set yourself apart in the online coaching space, yeah?
Yeah, definitely. I think we have all such different unique experience, and we've got to bring that to the table and not feel like we have to be cookie cutter or look like everybody else.
Gosh, it's so hard because I think we look around and we see people who are just crushing it and we go, well, let me just do and reverse engineer what they're doing. And so, you know, how do you help? Well, first of all, like who exactly would be like your ideal client? Who exactly are you the best at helping?
Yeah. So for me, one thing I feel like I've been re-niching every couple years because you just learn about yourself and what your people like about you and what they say you're good at. And sometimes you need to hear it from them versus you understanding or thinking, oh, it's this, right? You always assume it's something.
Yep.
For me specifically, I typically help people in the service-based industry of some sort. So
nice.
They might have a brick and mortar and they're trying to get more people in their building and serving that way. I help coaches and consultants who, you know, they do like private coaching or group coaching programs. There's a service of some sort there. Some people do done for you services like graphic designers. But my zone of genius is really helping with the online strategy of setting up automated funnels. Especially when people come to me and they're like, what's a funnel, right?
Yeah.
Like I have no idea, or I know what it is, but I'm not using them.
Yep.
So for me, it's just those online strategies, those digital strategies, helping people figure out how to do that. I think a lot of the people in the space that are teaching it, a lot of them are men, and a lot of them are just so techie and so over a lot of people's heads.
Mm-hmm.
And I only serve women. And a lot of my women say, I'm not tech savvy. I don't know how to do this.
Yep.
So I've got to break it down in a really simple way for them.
Awesome. I love that because I think, you know, and I do want to talk about this more kind of like the trends and kind of where our industry is moving. But I love that you talk about funnels. So for maybe people who are on the call who don't know exactly what that looks like, can you just kind of break that down, what that looks like?
Yeah. So a funnel is just a great way to talk, like what does it look like?
Yeah.
It's basically a fancier website, right? It's a website that has a mission. So somebody goes to a specific link. We send them there, whether they found us on Facebook or Instagram, whether it's, you know, we're not spending money on it, we just talk about it, or we put some money on it in a Facebook ad. We're sending them to this little website that we call a funnel. And the reason we call it a funnel is because, like I said, there's an intention behind it. We usually send them there to grab their email address and then send them on this journey. So usually if you send somebody right to your website, what happens is they get so overwhelmed. There's lots of buttons. There's always those things at the top and the header. Do I go to the About Me page? Yep. Do I check out her Work With Me, her testimonials? You know, there's so much there. And people get confused. They get overwhelmed. And then they just exit off your website. Mm-hmm. Whereas a funnel, there's really just one place to look. And it's talking about something specific. Our intention is to grab their email address, to give them something of free value. And then we send them down this journey in like our email sequence of some sort after.
Amazing.
But all with the hopes that they buy something at the end of that journey.
Cool. So basically this could be someone who is a warm lead. Maybe they've already followed you on social and they just want to download your thing or do your challenge or sign up for something. Or it could be a cold lead if you're using, you know, Facebook ad traffic, Instagram ad traffic. And so after that, what happens? So it's the download or whatever the freebie is what are the best freebies that you've had experience with? Like what's working right now in the space?
Yeah. So I am a big believer in having multiple funnels, but starting with one at a time, right? Okay. Because if you just keep trying to set one up and then you hear about this one and that one, pretty soon you're going to go, okay, I've started three, but I still don't have a working funnel that's converting and giving us customers.
Yes.
So I say start with one, build it out completely. When it's working, when you've got it up and running, then you can go to the next one, but you're still always looking at it saying, what's our conversion rate? You know, how many people looked at that page? How many people didn't opt in? You know, how many times can we make this better? So I have a couple funnels up and running that I'll kind of go over. So one funnel could be as simple as a free download. Okay. So I have a free download called like 10 effective ways to get your dream clients quickly. They'll go grab that download. And then on the next page, usually where it says like, thanks so much, we sent this download to your email. On this one, there is a video on that thank you page. It's about a 15-minute video, and it's an educational video. And on that video, it's almost like a mini webinar. Okay, so we're on there 15 minutes or so, and this one is trying to lead people to book a call with my team to find more about how they can work with me. Okay, so that's a pretty simple funnel right away, and we will get some cold traffic to come to it because they're a little warmed up after watching a 15-minute training video. You do a good job.
Yep.
Okay. And I can give you links to all of these if people want to see them and actually go through it to experience it.
So the call to action is to do a sales call with you. So you're not trying to sell like a low ticket price. Okay, cool.
Yeah. But the next one I'm going to talk about will sell a low ticket price. So the next one we have, I have toyed with, do I give video trainings, a mini course or PDFs? And what I will tell you is because every marketing is just, you know, trial and error.
Yep.
I have found that the best opt-in percentage, like the conversion rate that we get, is for free PDFs, like little cheat sheets.
Okay.
The bigger the workbook, the bigger it's going to, longer it's going to take them, the more people are like, I don't have time for that.
Yep.
You know, just give me the good stuff. So we have this other one that we call, they can go grab like our social media lead generation, like PDF. And when they grab that, the next page is just a short, like 2-minute video saying, hey, if you liked this, you're going to really love our social selling starter kit. And it's one of those things where we say it's a $97 value. You can't buy it anywhere except for on this page. And it's $19 and you can only get it in the next 10 minutes. And having that sense of urgency, get people buy it immediately because they're like, it's going away in 10 minutes. It's normally 97. I can't get it anywhere else. Like, how do I grab it now? Mm-hmm. So that kind of gets us to a warmer customer where those $19 sales turn into our next, you know, DIY course customer.
Cool. So that's
a great way to lead them.
Okay, cool. So you take people to the thank you page. There's a tripwire of some sort on that page that, you know, maybe you're using Deadline Funnel or something. And then you're sending people through an email sequence. So walk us through the email sequence that you recommend for your clients. Obviously, it's going to be different depending on kind of like what, but is there kind of a general outline that you like to use?
Yeah. So That's the thing is, if you're using this and you're going to be using paid traffic where you're going to get cold people coming, mm-hmm. you have to understand like who's going through this funnel, right? Are these people that know me really well and I don't need to really introduce myself or tell people what I do? Do I have to share my credibility or can I just kind of jump right in and just give them great content? So if this is something where we're going to send paid traffic to, and typically you will at some point send paid traffic there, yep. You want to make sure that that email sequence is educating them. It's giving great value in every single email, but at the same time, it can be seeding that offer again or sharing more information or where they can work with you or how they can buy, et cetera. Mm-hmm. I typically have about 5 emails or so that warm people up after they get on our email list.
Got it.
And it is like, again, introductory. I like to show pictures and videos because I want people to get to know me as fast as possible. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, right now we're just audio and audio is definitely better than if this was just in text.
Yep.
But I think video can be even higher. Like we can warm yes. them up even faster.
Yep.
So you have to ask yourself, like, how do I get in front of that audience so they can start to really get to know me? So writing in an email is great, but can you add in a video? Can you add in, you know, something where they can kind of get to know you to that next level?
Mm-hmm. And are you selling in those 5 emails? Like, so the first email you're selling right away, there's always like, there is some sort of like, you know, hyperlink to something in all of those emails.
Yeah. So the first email is going to be like, hey, here's your free download. It might say like, did you go grab that social selling starter kit? And it might have a timer in that email to show how much time they have left.
Cool.
Because some of our tripwires have a 24-hour timer.
Yep.
So email one might still be reminding them, go grab it.
Yep.
The next day might be like last chance. It's almost up, you know, get it now. But yeah, so we're telling stories. I'm trying to weave in my credibility, my experience, maybe a customer testimonial. If you have great testimonials, those should be part of your storytelling. Those should be all over the place okay. because you don't have to sell. You can seed. And what I mean by that is if I were to just, you know, you asked me a question and I was like, oh, so one of my mastermind members, one of the things that she did was blah, blah, blah. And you're already going, wait, mastermind, wait, what's happening?
Right.
And now they're emailing you saying, can I get more information on the mastermind? Right. So I'm a big fan of seeding programs and not always selling it.
Got
so
it.
We can just, you know, show a clip of, and people do this on Instagram and Facebook all the time where we might show off a picture of the video that just happened and people are like, oh, what was that program you guys were doing on Instagram together?
Yep.
And now they're asking you and it's giving you permission to sell.
Awesome. Yeah. So it's basically like there's some social proof there. It's obviously yep. you're not only do you take clients, but you actually are getting them great results. And so it's like, cool, yeah. what is that? So, okay, I love that. The idea of seeding instead of selling. And then, so you're assuming most people have at least some audience. And if they're not, they're sending cold traffic. But let's just say like someone's getting started with you. A client comes yeah. in, they're in a service, they have some sort of service they're trying to sell and they have no audience. Like they're getting on okay. social media and they're like, cool, I can set up the infrastructure for the funnel. But like, I need money now. What do you think,
yeah.
what would be like your very first step for this person?
So usually what types of, tell me what types of services or give me an example.
Okay. So everyone who's on the call is either a health, some sort of health or fitness professional. So most of them are either in-person personal trainers or health coaches. Maybe they're seeing, I have a few physicians, they're seeing people across the desk or seeing people in person. And so they might have a little bit of a local following, but some of them don't. Maybe they just got certified and they're like, cool, I want to do distance coaching because more autonomy, freedom, et cetera.
Yeah. Makes sense. So I would say if you're just getting started, you've got no following, nothing. I think your first offer is always going to be probably some sort of one-on-one type program, something that you're not going to probably be trying to jump right into a group. It's going to take a little bit longer. And I think there's a lot to learn of what do my people actually want and need from me. So one of the things I would do is I would set up a funnel. I would give great value right away and I would make sure the funnel is intentional. So for me, I remember when I came into the online space and people were talking about, you need a freebie, you need to grow your email list. So I would create all these random freebies
yep.
and they really had nothing to do with what I was trying to sell. Or it didn't lead them there, right? I'm like,
yep.
oh, I'm good at this, but my program has nothing to do with that, right?
Yep.
So I would say, what are you trying to do? And let's say you're selling something one-on-one. I love creating a signature framework that is like proprietary to what you do.
Yep.
So if everybody offers private, like personal, everybody's got a personal trainer at their local gym. But if I find out that Jill has this proprietary training that she does and it's got this five this way and all this stuff, right?
Yep.
I'm kind of like a little more intrigued. Like, what is her way that she does this? I want to know more about this if it's really unique to Jill. So first, you've got to be super unique and stand out. And I think a framework is a really great way to do that. And then when you get that funnel up and running, know that your intention should be to lead them to something probably one-on-one.
Good.
So you could set up that funnel where it's freebie and on that next page, it's the video and you're trying to get them to book a call with you and just do some one-on-one work together. I'm not a huge fan of like reaching out to people and just like private messaging them and hope it happens. Yep. I don't see, I get those all the time. I never get them a second thought.
Yep.
What I will say is, if you can position yourself as an expert and then get in front of other people's audiences, that's going to be helpful. So can you get on somebody else's podcast? Can you do a webinar with somebody? Like, that's really how I kind of took off in my business, was I had credibility in a certain area, but was coming into the online space and I had no following. And this was just about 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I had messaged a mentor of mine and said, listen, I'm going to sell this program. I'm going to do this product. It's complementary to what you do. It's not competitive. Could we do a webinar together and you'll get 50% commission and I'll get 50% commission? And she said yes. And I set up a funnel. We emailed out her list. People opted into mine. So it started my email list. We did the webinar. We ended up making $11,000 together, split it 50-50.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, I finally had people that started to follow me.
Got it.
And if you could keep finding people like that, right? Like, can I? And it doesn't have to be a paid webinar. Get on podcasts. Like, start pitching yourself. The first year I was in business, I was on 70 different podcasts.
That's amazing.
How
did you pitch yourself? Just like, if someone's listening to this and they're like, cool, that sounds great. A lot of my girls actually host podcasts and they're maybe just getting started and they're trying to build their network and they're getting they're getting better and better guests, but they're also being like, cool, I would like to get on these podcasts too. How do you position yourself so that someone, cause I'm sure you do, because you have a podcast that's super successful. I'm sure you get pitched all the time.
Yeah.
And you're like, I have no idea who this person is. We get them at the Best Life all the time. How do you stand out in a pitch?
Okay. So having a podcast for 3 years, I feel like I know what it's like now and I know what it was like before. So I will tell you that it is right now very difficult to get on my podcast and to get in front of me because I have a gatekeeper. I have somebody in my email who's like weeding through. And I tell you this because I want you to know, if you've got these like wish list podcasts you want to get on, I wouldn't be starting with them.
Yeah.
I would be starting with people who are not, you're like, I've never even heard of them before, but I'm going to give them a shot. Because I remember 3 years ago, pretty much anybody that asked to be on my show, if I looked them up and I was like, oh, she looks pretty good, I would take them because I needed people, right?
Yep. Yep.
So I feel like there will be people that will take you on if you have expertise and you have credibility and you can pitch them with this unique thing that you're going to talk about, they'll take you. Start building up a bunch of those. So when I say I was on 70 podcasts my first year, half of them you probably have never heard of.
Yep.
But it was great for me to practice, to get good at being interviewed. And I think just really building up my podcast, because I could mention mine when I was being interviewed. So I would say start building, and I should say start sharing other people's platforms. But then one thing that I love when people pitch me is having just a one sheet. If you don't have a podcast one sheet where it's basically your name, your short bio, your photo, like three topics that Jill talks about and five questions you can ask and, any of that stuff. If you can show me truly that, yes, I am an expert in here, here's what I do, that's what I would be sending out to people when you go to pitch them.
Awesome. Yeah. I think it's so hard to stand out. Like, you would tell so many of them are just like templates, which is just like delete, delete, delete. So yeah, it's like, how do you stand out? Having like a one sheet, having an interesting story, showing that you understand the audience of the podcast. And even kind of like name dropping, like masterminds. I think it's been the same for you, because I know you were in a couple last year as well, and I was in two last year. It's like, it really does pay. Like, you really kind of do have to pay to play at some point.
Yeah.
Do you find that that's true as well?
I do. I mean, yeah, if I can say somebody's name and maybe they don't know who I am, but they're like, oh, you were in his mastermind? Okay. All of a sudden it's like, that person has kind of given me credibility.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say that for sure. I will also say that I've built relationships, people that I've actually turned down where we haven't interviewed them, but then all of a sudden I'm DMing them on Instagram, not even realizing it's the same person. Yeah. And all of a sudden it's a name that keeps popping up. And then this person pitches me and says, "Hey, I emailed you. Here's my info. Would you ever be interested?" I've actually been able to say yes in Instagram where I had already said no in email. So I think building relationships first versus just like pitching somebody that you don't know. Because everybody that comes on my podcast, I already like really know them well, or it's a friend of a friend, or they're super credible and I've heard of them, you know?
Yeah.
So I feel like you really do. I like when you said you have to pay to play, because I am in paid masterminds. And for me, I am paying for connections. Yeah. I am paying to get in the room with people that I maybe wouldn't necessarily be able to get in the room with them.
Yep. Totally. No, I feel the exact same way. And it's so, I love this because I feel like our industry, I don't feel the same way, but I feel like our industry is changing so quickly, which, you know, partly it's like, as soon as you like master something, it's like, it's all changing. But at the same time, I actually look at it like it's a puzzle. More and more people are buying than ever. So obviously they're still consuming and they're still purchasing. It's just like, how are they purchasing is maybe changing, or the sales conversation is changing, or the sales sequence is changing. So how in the last, maybe you said it's been about 3 years for you, what have you seen change from like maybe 3 years ago, or even like maybe last year that might have been working that's not working as well anymore?
Yeah. So I'm going to say just the saturation of our niches. So, I mean, you're in the fitness space, I'm in the business space. I'm pretty sure we picked the most saturated like niches there are, right? I'm pretty sure like we're the top two. And I coach a lot of fitness people, and I know it's hard to stand out because everybody's doing the same thing. So I think this is the time now more than ever, you have to stand out. You have to be different. And if you're not different, you'll become extinct. Like it will happen. Your numbers will start to decline. Even if you were really successful a year ago or 2 years ago, I've seen people that are peaking. I've seen people that start to kind of go down because it's just, there's more competition.
Yeah.
You know, if people are saying to you, what's the difference between your program and this three other programs, right? That's a sign of, if they don't even know, you're too similar to them.
Yep. So how do you coach your clients on standing out? Because I've had this conversation a lot with, you know, other peers in the industry. And, you know, I do business coaching for fitness pros. And it's like you said, a lot of people are saying the same thing. We have a lot of Me Too businesses. You know, it's hard to reinvent some, like, you know, I mean, like people do macros or people do intuitive eating or whatever. It's kind of hard sometimes to stand out when there's only a finite amount of like approaches to eating or approaches to exercise. Yeah. So where is the pivot point? Is it on personality? Is it on voice? Is it on, you know, like how do you coach your clients to stand out? Is it the proprietary system? What is the best way to like, I don't know, create some edge about you, or like have something that's going to be memorable about you?
Yeah. So I think that is what it is. People want to hire the expert, and they want to know that you are really good at this specific thing and not, you're not good at everything, right? Yeah. Nobody wants to hire the person that does it all. They want to hire the person that they need help with this thing. So even just in the fitness space, you know, I know there's a podcast about like losing 100 pounds, and like that's a really specific person you're targeting, right?
Yep.
And that person is like kind of like claiming, I am the expert here. You know, when you pick, like instead of just being a, like when somebody comes in, they're like, I'm going to be a fitness expert. I'm like, oh, great. Okay. You got to be more niche than that. And they'll be going, okay, I'm really good at keto. I'm really good at intermittent fasting. Okay, great. Those are the things where you're no longer a fitness expert. You're a keto expert. Yep. You know, you're an intermittent fasting expert. I just interviewed Jen Hansard from Simple Green Smoothies today. Yep. She'll be on my podcast. And like she claims she is the green smoothie expert.
Yeah.
She could have said, I want to be a fitness expert, but she's like, no, I'm going to, not fitness, but nutrition. And she's like, no, I am the green smoothie expert. And when they pitched me to be on my show, I knew who she was before. I didn't have to look her up.
Yep.
Because when you're the expert, your name gets around,
yep.
You know? So I think most of us just are probably trying to cast too large of a net.
Yep.
And we need to go a little bit smaller.
Awesome. I love that. And I agree. I completely agree. And I think we're having to niche down even more. And our solutions need to be even more niched as well. What do you tell someone who's trying to, you know, really enjoy their business, and they're like, holy shit, Stacey, like there's only so many times I can talk about green smoothies. Like, what do I, like, you know what I mean? Like, how do you stay excited about your business?
Okay, so I completely understand when you say something like that, because you're like I remember people being like I was known for this, and I don't ever want to say that word again. Yeah. I ever want to teach that, and I think that you have to understand it's only for a little bit. Okay, so you might have to be the keto girl for 2 years, but when you break through that wall, you can then start to talk about more stuff, right? So using like Rachel Hollis is an example of somebody pretty big where. She was a food blogger, and she was that for a long, long time. And now she's broken through the wall, and she can teach whatever she wants, right? So I think you have to ask yourself, what can I be like super specific on now and be the expert in? And I love the one sheet about the podcast, like sending that in. Just even if you don't send it in, but you create it for yourself. If you can't come up with three topics you are the expert in or five questions everybody always asks you, you're probably not niched down enough.
Got it.
And I would love for you to do this exercise. Sure. We call it, it's a SWOT analysis.
Yep.
So it's SWOT, if you've ever done this. And it's basically you evaluating yourself and then you evaluating your competitors. So what are your strengths? What are your weaknesses? What are your opportunities? And what are your threats? And you go through that and you just write down everything you can think of for your business. And then go grab your top three closest competitors and do it for them too. And that's when you're going to go, wow, I'm really, really similar to maybe competitor A, right? And you've got to understand that when you keep acting like you're the same person as competitor A, it's like a coin toss who people are going to pick, right? Mm-hmm. And we want to be so different that it doesn't even look like we're actually competing with her.
Mm. Love it. Yeah, no, the SWOT analysis is great. And I haven't heard about doing it with your competitors, but that's a great way to get even more niche. It's hard because I think, I don't know if you experience this too, it's like for a lot of my clients, they maybe have come up reading, maybe they're certified through Precision Nutrition or they're certified through Metabolic Effect or they're certified through these different kind of like bigger information hubs. And so they do start out sounding like that person that they followed or that person that they kind of read or they watched or whatever. You know, in your experience, how long does it take people to really start separating themselves and feeling like, okay, I'm getting a lot of traction? Because, you know, you hear like 3 to 5 years, and then you see people who's like make 6 figures in 3 months. Like, what in your experience with your clients, how long does it take for them to really gain, like, let's just talk reality? What have you seen? What has been like maybe the average for you? Obviously, it depends on like how much work you do and all that kind of stuff too. But for you, what would you say? Like, if you're trying to manage a client's expectations.
Yeah. So expectations of like starting and selling.
Yeah. Being like, yeah, exactly. Okay. Like, okay, cool. Like, you know, I mean, we see it. We're like scrolling through Facebook or Instagram. It's like make 6 figures in like your first 3 months of business.
Yeah.
And it's like you have no audience. Yeah. So like that's obviously, so what would you say if someone does all the things, does the program, goes all in, invests, whatever, like when can they expect to have to be in that space where like, okay, this is a viable business now?
Yeah.
Realistically.
So it is hard. It's a very hard question to answer. I've had crazy success stories where people do it so fast and then some that it's like they just can't figure it out and it's just not for them, right? So it's so hard to say, but I will tell you that anything is possible. And I also think everybody is different in like, what's your advantage here? So for instance, I just had somebody who she coaches parents and helps them transition their high school seniors into college freshmen, like having them go off to college. And she set up a funnel, and now it took her a while to get the funnel going and understand like, what do I want to do and how am I going to do this? And when she finally got clear and set up this funnel, she posted it on Black Friday. It was just a blog post, and it went to an opt-in that led to a pre-sale of a course for $97. And she had 28 people, no audience, you guys.
Yep.
She literally posted it on Pinterest because she doesn't have a following. Which when you use a search engine like Pinterest and Google and YouTube, you're going to have better results if you're brand new than if you're going to use something like Instagram where people aren't really, they can't find you, you know?
Right, right.
So she puts this up on Pinterest, no following. I mean, literally like nobody's following her Pinterest page, but she uses keywords, right? Things like that. And 28 people bought her $97 product in 3 days.
Yep.
And I feel like that things like that can happen
if
you have the research, if you know what people are looking for. There's just so many factors that you have to have. And honestly, it's a system. You know, it's you can do it on your own, but it's so much better when you can follow a proven method of what people are doing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a big fan of finding platforms that are keyword specific so that you're not spending all this time on Facebook Live and nobody's ever watching your videos, because that can get so frustrating. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yes, 100%. Yeah. And it's so, like those live on there, so it's nice. You know what I mean? Who knows? Like maybe over time they're getting more views, but at the same time, it can be really defeating, especially if you're just getting started. You're like, who am I talking to? Is taking a lot of time for no return. But so you're saying you get a better ROI if you use search engines.
Yeah, I think so. And I'll tell you, recently I'm like, I got to start doing more yoga. So what do? I go to YouTube, I type in yoga, and I get this girl to pop up, and it's Yoga with Adrienne. And I'm like, whoa, she has 4 million subscribers. This is crazy. So, of course, the business woman in me is like checking her out. Right. Like, well, how did she get this big? Yep. What is she doing? And I looked at her videos, and a lot of her videos would say things like, you know, I'm making this up, but it would be like back exercises for the service-based industry, like service industry. Or then one would be like some like shoulder stretch for golfers and like all these things. And I'm like, wow, you know what she's doing? Niching. She's positioning herself as the absolute expert in these specific niches. And she's getting all of these people to come find her because they're, what are they searching for? They're probably searching for a shoulder exercise for golfers. And she's popping up. So I think that's when you have to say, like, you can't just be a yoga expert, right? Like there's a million of those people. And why is she getting, why is she way bigger than everybody else? Because she is acting like the expert in all of these things. And she is using a searchable engine, you know, and that's helping her.
Yeah. Nice. That's awesome. I love that. Yeah, that's great. And I have two other questions, but you guys, if you're listening to this and you have questions, which I know you do, go ahead and type them down below in the question section. We'll make sure that we get them. And I don't want to take too much of Stacey's time, but this is so good. And the second to last question I have for you is, what is the biggest mistake that you're seeing entrepreneurs making or new entrepreneurs into the space? Like, what is the thing that you just keep seeing in there? And what would you say is probably the thing to not do if you're just getting started in the first, like, I don't know, 6 to 12 months of business?
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to say two things. Okay. So one I'm going to say is they expect it to happen overnight and they're not willing to put in the work. And I think it's really easy to look at Rachel Hollis and be like, I want to be her, but not realize that she's been pretty consistent for 10 years. You know, this, it was like this book that blew up for her recently was her sixth book, right? Yep. How many of you are going to write 5 books that don't do as, that don't hit New York Times bestseller and think maybe book number 6 is going to do it, right? So I think that's it. Like, are you in this for the long haul or are you looking to get rich quick? Because those are two different people. And I think those are two totally different businesses. So that's, I think, something wrong. Yep. Another one, which is going to sound repetitive, is I think they're thinking to make money, I have to be everything for everyone. Mm-hmm. And they do cast that very large net and think that's going to be their best way to do it. And I don't believe that. You know what I talked about, Julie, my mom, but I mean, how specific is this where she's trying to talk to moms who have seniors in high school going to be freshmen in college? Like, wow, like that's a niche right there. And the fact that she got 28 buyers in 3 days doesn't surprise me because how many people do you think are selling that? I don't think a lot, but I bet she said there was like, some, I don't know, like 50 million kids in college, or I don't know what number, but like crazy, crazy numbers. And I'm like, okay, if this is the numbers and you can go to searchable engines, you're great. So she's somebody. Another girl that I work with, she is a nutritionist for hockey players, kids who want to become like Olympic athletes or play professionally for hockey. Mm-hmm. How many people do you think serve kids who want to be hockey players that need nutrition plans? I mean, talk about like going after your market. And I think it just shows like these people, when you're that good at your, what you're doing, you want to hire the expert and they're positioning themselves that way.
Awesome. I love that. Yeah. I think it's so easy to be like, well, I don't want to turn down or get that sense of FOMO and scarcity. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't want to turn down somebody, especially if you're in the health space, because if you're a personal trainer, you are taking on every single type of person in the gym, right? You're at the mercy of like the local area. So you're like, yeah, I could train dudes. Or, yeah, I can train like older folks. Or yeah, I can. Mm-hmm. But like online, I think we have the opportunity to get so niche. And there's plenty of people who are, you know, like they always say the riches and niches. And it's just a good reminder that like who you're serving in person is probably not going to be the same demographic as who you're serving online.
Yeah, for sure.
Cool.
Well, and I'll tell you this too. So my podcast is called She's Building Her Empire. So you would think I only get women.
Yep.
Okay, we actually have men listening to it.
Yep.
And I've had men buy my courses and they'll say, hey, I'm a dude, but do you care if I buy this course? Like, I just want to tell you I'm a guy. I'm like, yeah, that's fine. So I still attract certain people. And like, do you think Julie gets parents who have juniors in high school? Probably.
Right.
But you can still say who you are and who you work with.
Yep.
And you'll still get other people to be like, you know what? My kid's already a freshman in college, but I bet there's something in there that maybe I miss. And then they'll still buy it.
Got it. Awesome. I love that. That's such a good reminder. Okay. My last question for you is, what is going on in your business right now? Tell us where we can follow you. Tell us what's going on. What are you excited about right now, et cetera?
Yeah. Okay. So, what's happening right now? I feel like for me, my best places to hang out is definitely Instagram. You can find me at Stacey Tushel. I would say my podcast, I'm loving my podcast. It's been around for 3 years. And I've definitely had like ups and downs of how I've felt with it. And I get burnt out. And I just like this last year, it's just been a different feeling for me. And I'm just loving the podcast. So I would say there. And this year, I think for me, I am really focusing on, I keep saying, simplified scaling. I want to do less, but make more. And, you know, just have like one or two amazing funnels that are doing, you know, 80% of the work.
Yep.
And I think that's the lifestyle I'm living right now. Having two young kids, I just don't want to be taking on a million things every day. So I think simplified scaling is like my new motto for 2019.
I love that. And because I think sometimes we think, oh, we should make more stuff. We're like, oh, this one didn't hit, or like, oh, and I find that a lot of times it's more of just a promotional or marketing issue, like taking the time to really tweak the funnel, to really tweak the ad targeting, to tweak all that stuff. It takes more time versus it's easier to just make more stuff and then you'll get more money in your pocket faster. But then, like you said, maybe you're all over the place or people don't really know what you do, or like you kind of do everything. And I love the idea of simplifying. Jacqueline says simplified. Yes. A couple questions here. Jacqueline just said the Pinterest stuff was so great, and she just subscribed to podcasters on Instagram to get to know them to pitch herself because she has her own podcast.
Oh, okay.
We have Isabel. She wanted to know what you said. You mentioned the like separate website for the funnel. What software do you use? Do you use ClickFunnels or do you use Lead Pages or?
Yeah, I do use ClickFunnels. I'm a big fan. I mean, I like it a lot. We do a lot of things where it's intricate, so I think it makes sense. If it's not in your budget, I think it's like $97 a month, you can go to Lead Pages, but at some point you probably will outgrow Lead Pages, I would think.
Got it.
The bigger your business gets.
Cool. Okay, so ClickFunnels or start with Lead Pages.
Cool.
And then last question, it looks like it's from Susan. She says, you mentioned that some people just can't figure it out. What is the common denominator with those people? Ooh, that's kind of a tough question.
Yeah, I really think, though, it's kind of like the discipline, the habits side of it. Mm-hmm. Because I think people just don't understand this is going to take work. They're like, I'm going to leave my job. I hate it. This is going to be so much better. And they're like, wait a minute. I mean,
this right is still
now
a job
I'm in
too.
A stage where, yeah. I mean, I feel like I'm in a really great stage where I'm not working evenings. I'm not working weekends. But that wasn't always the case. Yeah. I mean, there's been times where Christmas Day, I'm like pulling out my laptop because I got to do some stuff, you know? So I think when people, I think it's more like attitude and habits and how disciplined are you going to be and how committed are you to your success? Because if you're committed and you're not going to give up, you like those people are the ones that make it.
Yep.
The people that don't make it, you know, the ones that you're like, oh, how's business? I'm like, oh, I'm back at my 9 to 5.
Right.
I just think they just didn't have the vision. They weren't committed to their end goal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I agree with you. I do think at some point, like it's kind of an attitude and it's a mindset.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when people say, oh, it takes like 3 to 5 years, I'm like, yeah, because those are the people who are still sticking it out, right? Like if you've made it 3 years in online business, like you're going to be successful because there's like so few people who are willing to do that. Okay, cool. So make sure you guys check out Stacey, connect with her on Instagram for sure. She always has great content there. Make sure you go to her website and she has a free Facebook group that is in her Instagram profile if you guys click on that. And also she has a few of the lead magnets that she talked about also in her Instagram profile link. So make sure you guys add yourself. If you just want to see it from the business perspective, get access to her free content and then kind of watch how she takes you through the funnel. Just for some recon and, you know, obviously invest if you guys find that it's useful. But yeah, that is it for me. And anything else that you wanted to add, Stacey?
Yeah, I would say just because you're talking about all this free content, it kind of sparked something. So I've been putting out free content for 3 years consistently every week. And right now I have a YouTube video every week and I have a podcast every week. I do a Facebook Live every week and it's all fresh content. And I think, you know, now it's easy because people listen and they jump on. But 3 years ago, they weren't. And I think, again, it's like the vision of, I know nobody's listening right now, but maybe they will. And if I keep showing up, they'll take me seriously. Mm-hmm. And pretty soon I'll grow a following. And I started just like you with zero. And I think the consistency of what you're doing will outlast all those competitors who yes. aren't willing to be consistent.
I love it. I know that's one of the things I definitely love about you is that you're so consistent. You're such an action taker, and you also like to geek out on strategy with me, which is a lot of fun too. Thank you so much for just being so generous with your time and expertise. And I know that we all learned a lot from you. So make sure you guys connect with Stacey. And I just want to say thanks for taking your time and go hang with your kiddos. And I hope you have a great holiday.
All right. Bye guys. Thanks so much.
All right. Thanks, hon. I'll talk to you soon. I'll make sure I'll get you this audio as well.
Okay. Great.
Okay.
Thanks.
Bye.